So for us, we're going to be in John chapter 10 this morning. And again, we're in the series of Jesus just declaring who he is. He asked the question of his disciples, who do you say that I am? And not that he answers that question with these statements, but as Jesus reflects to us who he is, it's, in my mind, essential, not just that we know about Jesus, but that we would know him, interact with him in a very personal way. And so the first one we looked at was in John chapter 8, where Jesus says, before Abraham was, who had lived 2,100 years before Jesus was talking, before Abraham was, I am. Meaning that Jesus is saying, I am the one, I'm the living God, I'm the one who declared himself to even Moses in the burning bush. He says, I am the bread of life in John 6, I'm the light of the world earlier in John 8. And then today, we're going to look at the idea of Jesus being the good shepherd. And this passage begins with Jesus kind of saying, truly, truly, I say to you. So if you're wondering, who is Jesus? Or at least, who does the scriptures claim Jesus to be? Jesus says this phrase, you know, I say to you, 26 times in the book of John. And this is one of those ways that he declares who he is and who we need to understand him to be. And so we're going to be looking at John 10. We're going to read the first 18 verses. I'm going to read and feel free to follow along. But if you would you stand with me as we just reflect our submission to the Word of God, that God is speaking, Jesus is speaking to us, and we want to submit ourselves to him. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In this figure of speech, Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's pray. God, would you, by your Spirit, would you speak to us? Jesus, thank you for declaring who you are. And so, Father, I pray that you would strip away all other conceptions that are false of what we think of you, that we think who you are. God, I pray that when we take seriously your word, Father, it's not always a compliment to us. But yet, Father, that puts us in our right place, that you are God and we are not. And so, Father, I pray that our pride would not get in the way of us truly coming under your care and, Father, understanding what it is to be to be purchased, to be saved by Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, encourage us, and yet, Father, I pray that you challenge us at the same time. God, draw us to yourself that we might understand what it is that we are, your sheep. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you would please be seated. I don't know if you have somebody in your life like this, but the person that's always getting lost, the person that can't navigate anywhere. And one woman, Maury McLaurin, she has an unusual condition. And her condition is called developmental topographical disorientation. Okay? DTD. And this poor woman, she cannot form any mental map of her surroundings. Okay, and so unlike most people, she has no internal compass. Even listening to directions from a GPS just confuse her. And supposedly 1% of the population struggle with some form of this. And if you know somebody like this, you could probably say who they are, right? So she was staying at this friend's house. It was a new neighborhood. And so she figured she would go and walk that person's dog. Well, she didn't take her normal precautions and all this stuff. So she goes only a couple blocks away. And she realizes she is completely lost, completely without an internal compass. She has no idea how to get home. She would go left, that's a pure guess. She could go right, that's another guess. Is she going to get closer to the house, further away? And she was completely and utterly lost. You can only imagine, you know, the anxiety that begins. You know, she didn't write down the address of these people, and she just had no way of getting home. She finally found a neighbor who recognized her friends, and they could lead her home. But how would you feel if you're in that scenario? If you're in this person's condition and you could walk a block from your house or maybe even get lost in your own home, how would you feel about life? Would you have any confidence at all of any step that you would take, any direction you would walk, anything that you would do in your life? You wouldn't. Okay? You would feel confused. You would feel like you would second guess everything. You'd be scared. You'd be frustrated constantly. You'd need, and what would be needed for you to actually have confidence in life? You would need somebody that's with you. If a GPS confuses you, you need somebody right there with you who knows where they are and knows where you are going. And so if we're going to take that idea and put it into a biblical vernacular, what word comes to mind? Shepherd. Okay, a shepherd who knows where he is, a shepherd who knows where he's going. And if you think about it, you look all around us, you look maybe even at your own life, there's often this sense where we are lost without somebody truly leading us. Now, I know I'm talking to very capable people, people who have accomplished great things in your career, and you might be thinking, that's not really true of me. You know what? I'm not lost without somebody helping me in this life. You're a fairly confident person, relatively successful in all things, but let's flip this a little bit. I want you to think of the aspect of your life, either the realm of your life, the aspect or the thing that you do where you feel most insecure or most out of control. Okay? Just in case you haven't thought of anything yet, it might be thinking about your kids' future. You know, it might be this year in school. It might be them in college. It might be them down the road. Possibly you as a student, you're in school and you're wondering, how is this going to go? You feel insecure or you're out of control. Possibly with your job, your financial provisions. Maybe it's medical bills. Maybe it's you're behind on your mortgage. You're wondering about your investments. Maybe it's some relationship, your marriage, possibly a dating relationship, a deep friendship, and you feel insecure or out of control. So everybody got that? Think about that one thing. Now, physically, how do you feel? Probably some of you, as you thought about it, you're like, great, I came in here to be all cheered up, and you're bringing my worst nightmare to my mind. And so probably some of you right now, your stomach just started churning. Or your mind started racing, trying to solve something. You know, maybe some of you just felt that invisible burden, that the weight that just got put on you. You know, you just got really tired, possibly, or you're just your brain and your mind is racing. So in this aspect of life, not the stuff you're really good at and successful at, but in the thing that you're thinking about right now, how confident do you feel? Not very confident at all. And so you can say, you know what, I might be good in a lot of things, but I know there are aspects of my life that I am lost. And I need someone to lead me. I need someone to know where they are. And we hate that feeling, don't we? You know, glad we don't have DTD on a huge basis. We hate feeling lost. We hate feeling utterly hopeless because we can't figure it out ourselves. We hate having to rely on somebody. And yet Jesus says, that's exactly who we are. And I think that's why people struggle with this idea of coming into relationship with Jesus, is I don't want to be dependent on anybody. I want to figure out where I'm going. I want to fix things. I want to walk my path. I don't want to know that I'm lost and I need somebody. And so if I can act as if I've got it figured out, then I don't need a savior and I certainly don't need a shepherd. But the biblical picture of people, the biblical picture of people that have wandered away from that intimate relationship with God is that we are all lost without a shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. When he speaks of people in John chapter 9, he sees these people that are harassed and helpless, and he describes them as sheep without a shepherd. And that's the nature of humanity. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the living God, you are a sheep, a wandering sheep without somebody to lead you. And so this idea of shepherd and sheep, you know, I haven't seen, you know, a flock lately, you know, like, you know, walking around Irmo, there's not a bunch of shepherds. And so we don't really get the picture. But shepherd and sheep, when Jesus is talking to the first century audience, this is as common as cars driving down the road for us, okay? So it doesn't take any explanation to bring all of these images into these people's mind. And so as common as that is, as cars are in our world, sheep and shepherd, that image is as common in Jesus's hearers. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And so as a shepherd, I want to look at two aspects. I want to look at us as sheep and him as a shepherd. Okay? That seems like a great outline. Okay? And so, like, I spent all week on that. And so what is it as Jesus as a shepherd? Actually, I really did change one point this morning. But as Jesus as a shepherd, Jesus knows the needs of his sheep. Okay? He knows the needs of his sheep. So when he says, I'm the good shepherd, he also has said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. He's going to say, I'm the vine. You're the branches. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. All of these are impersonal, so to speak. This is the only one that is a personal relationship. I'm the good shepherd. He understands the needs of his sheep. He knows the needs of his sheep. I know my own, he says in verse 14, and my own know me. So just like sheep, they're in a flock. They know the shepherd, and the shepherd knows them. Go Google some things on shepherds, and you'll see just crazy ideas of how well shepherds know their sheep. Like one shepherd in particular had sold four sheep to somebody else and was driving down the road. Obviously, this wasn't America. It was over in Europe. They're driving down the road in a car with another friend, and he sees this flock hundreds of yards away, and he says, oh, those four are my sheep. To the non-shepherd, like, what? You know, from hundreds of yards away, they can recognize and know their sheep. That's the idea of a shepherd. And so when we think of first century farming, you know, what they would do is they would have these flocks. And so we have a bunch of sheep, and there would be a few shepherds that have flocks. And instead of everybody kind of watching their own sheep through the night, they would put them together in a sheepfold. And they would put them together in some kind of enclosure. And then if they wanted to get sleep for the night, they would hire somebody to watch the sheep, okay? And an under-shepherd or all that. And so that's when Jesus gets to verse 2. You know, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about this enclosure. When the shepherd comes back to get his sheep, he's going to walk through the door to get them. First part of verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens. So the one that's watching the sheep, The shepherd comes back. Yeah, sure, you're the shepherd. You know, I got your little ID badge, and you know, you kind of blip it, and the numbers on the kid tag, you know, match, and you can take your sheep out. And so he comes to the gatekeeper, and they lets him in. The second half, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And so it's just merely the voice of a shepherd that actually leads the sheep. And then the sheep follow him in verse 4, for they know his voice. And that's just amazing. And so you've got hundreds of sheep. The shepherd does whatever call he does, and his sheep leave the fold, and the rest stay, because they understand and they hear the voice of their shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep. Yet, if he's the shepherd that comes in through the gate, right, there are others who want to harm the sheep or steal from the shepherd. And those are the ones in verse 1. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. And so the shepherd has an authorized entrance to get the sheep. Other people are jumping the walls or the fence or whatever to get the sheep, to try to steal them or harm them. What's interesting is he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. He's talking to the ones who have their act together, who are always in church, always in worship. And he is saying, in a sense, he's calling them not shepherds of the people, but thieves and robbers that are coming to their harm. Why? Because they're requiring morality rather than knowing the living God. They were asking sheep to figure themselves and get themselves straight rather than submit themselves to the shepherd. And so when we think of sheep, we read it with our call to worship. When we think of sheep and shepherds, Psalm 23 comes to our mind. The Lord is my shepherd. If you've gone to a funeral, you know, probably 9 out of 10 funerals, this psalm is read. But I want to submit something to you. I think we've romanticized the idea of shepherd. Okay? Think of all the, I didn't think to put these up on the screen, but think of all the pictures of Jesus as a shepherd with a sheep, right? Okay? What color are the sheep? Not a trick question. White. And they're like bleach white. Okay? They're like, you know, OxyClean white. Okay, and so there's these sheep, and if Jesus is carrying a sheep, what's the face that he has? He's always smiling, right? And like he's kind of skipping back, and so we almost have this this kind of softened version of a shepherd that's always smiling with really clean sheep. That is not even close. So when the angels come the night that Jesus is born, he comes to see shepherds, and where were they? Good. In the fields, watching their flocks by night. So if you are watching your flock at night in a field, where are you going to sleep? On the grass, in a field, while it's cold. I doubt these guys are smiling. Shepherds are grisly. Shepherds spend their life outside. Shepherds go after the lost sheep who's covered in mud and is nearing death. And that's what a shepherd does. Yes, the shepherd carries the sheep back. By the way, the breaking of the legs thing, not biblical. Can't find it. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go Google it. It's not a biblical picture, nor is it in shepherding anywhere. The shepherd runs after the sheep. The shepherd is a strong, grisly man. And when Jesus says, I am your shepherd, I am the good shepherd, we have to admit that we are what? That we are sheep. Now that sounds all right until we understand what the nature of sheep are. Okay? Sheep are animals that have developmental topographical disorientation. Okay? They're like, they're trained with it. That's who they are. They can't find their way anywhere. They can't direct themselves. They have no sense of direction. They leave, they walk around the corner, and they're lost. I've seen it, one author write that if you let any other animal go, like, out of its pen, it either runs away wild or it comes back home. You know? Not sheep. Sheep just wander. They don't go anywhere. They have no sense of direction. Sheep will eat whatever they want to eat, even if it's poisonous to their own harm. So leave a sheep by himself. He will wander around. He will fall off a cliff. He'll eat something that will kill him, or not eat at all. If there's no water right there, they won't drink. If they fall over, they can't right themselves. If they get stuck in a certain position, sheep are helpless without a shepherd. And we are sheep. Man, we hate that, don't we? And I think that's right there. When Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and you are my sheep, we get off the train. We're like, no, I've got my life together. I'm doing it mostly my way. I'm pretty successful. And if I ever mess up really bad, I've got Jesus to catch me. What kind of faith, or what kind of walk, what kind of day-to-day life with our Savior is that? That is your self-reliance and my self-reliance showing up in the most profound way until we really mess up, and then we got Jesus our backstop. And that's not the biblical picture. Jesus is saying, I know my sheep, I know my voice, and they can do nothing without me. They need me for everything. Every day the shepherd is there with his sheep. The shepherd sleeps with his sheep. You with me? And so for us to see Jesus as our shepherd, we truly have to see ourselves rightly. That we're lost, we're stubborn, we can't feed ourselves, we can't lead ourselves, we can't protect ourselves. Able to shepherd. And so the shepherd will do amazing things on behalf of the sheep. So that's the needs of the sheep, right? Now, how does the shepherd approach us? How does the shepherd work on our behalf? So as a shepherd, then Jesus shows his love for his sheep. And so this idea of the shepherd imagery, this doesn't just show up in John 10. This shows up everywhere in the scriptures, that God is describing himself as a shepherd to his people. Let me just pick a few of them out. So Isaiah 40 verse 11, this picture that is described, that he Jesus will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And so Isaiah 40 verse 11, and then maybe Ezekiel 34 verse 12, and he says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And so this picture of God as our shepherd, of Jesus coming as our shepherd, is a very biblical picture. And then we get to verse 9, where the image changes. I don't know if you caught this or not. In the first part, he's the shepherd. The second part, starting in verse 7, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am what? I'm the door. Wait a second, I thought you were the shepherd. And so I think the key here is Jesus is using imagery of what they know, but he's also using different aspects of this imagery to tell who he is. It's not like he's saying I'm one thing than another. He is just saying that he also is the door. He's the one that you enter through. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so for anybody to be cared for, for anybody to enter the kingdom of God, for anybody to be a part of the people of God, the only place to enter is through Jesus. Jesus says it another way, which we're going to look at soon. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you want to know the living God, if you want the presence of a shepherd in your life, the one that's made you and sustains you and cares for you, the only way is through the door of Jesus. And what's great is Jesus also talks about us in this passage, not just the people that are right in front of him, but me and you. In verse 16, he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. So he's talking to a Jewish audience who think they are the ones that are the chosen people of God. We're the sheep. He's our shepherd. We have this kind of claim on God being our shepherd. And Jesus says, there's other people of another fold. Now, I've heard people say this means there's life on other planets. Okay, I've actually had that debate, and I'm not making that up. I don't think that's what Jesus is claiming here. Okay? I think he's speaking to a Jewish audience, saying that there are people around the world who do not have a Jewish descent that are going to be my people, my sheep, my flock. And I want them to come, and then just like Ephesians 2 would say, that the Gentile and the Jews would be one people. The dividing wall of hostility would be broken down. So, no, not about aliens. So, and so when we see Jesus as a shepherd, that he shows his love for his sheep, what does it look like? How does a shepherd love his sheep? Okay? If you were going to throw words out, you're going to come up with words like lead, guide, protect, care, chase after, feed. You'll come up with all of those kind of words. And so how do you summarize, like 29 different characteristics in a few subpoints? We're going to try. And the first thing of the idea of a shepherd is that he leads us. He leads his sheep. And so so ranchers, that's an American picture. Ranchers, how do they move their herd? Ranchers drive their herd from behind. Shepherds don't. Shepherds lead their flock from ahead. Okay, they get in front and lead. So Western shepherds drive their sheep, much like we do ranchers, with a sheepdog or pushing them. But the Near East, where Jesus was, and even to today, today the shepherds, they're always out in front of their flock. Okay, what do you see in verse 3? In verse 3, Jesus says, to him the gatekeeper opens. So he goes into that sheepfold. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Jesus is out ahead of his people. Verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock, one shepherd. And so he knows his people by name. He speaks and they hear his voice and they follow. He is out ahead and leading. So for us to be sheep, are you following Jesus? Not simply, you know what, when I was 12, I prayed the prayer. That's a profession of faith. Are you really following your shepherd? A sheep follows. The sheep hears the voice of the shepherd. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. The sheep is known by the shepherd. And the sheep follow. Because what's really wild is if we're not following the shepherd, guess what? You're not running your own destiny. You're following something. Because I think humanity is just hardwired. That's why fads are fads, right? You know, one person starts something and then all of a sudden everybody thinks it's cool and we all do it. Because we all follow. It's kind of somewhat natural. And so James Dobson, he wrote a book and called Life on the Edge. And he talked about this idea of sheep, that sheep naturally follow even if they don't understand what they're following. So my question is, are you following Jesus as your shepherd? Because reality is you're following something. What are you following? There's this idea that ones who raise sheep, they actually have this this concept for ones that are going to actually butcher sheep for meat, and they're meat producing, and they have a sheep called the Judas sheep. Okay, you can imagine what the Judas sheep is. Okay, because sheep will follow, and because it's hard to drive them and kind of push them places, well, they've trained one sheep to kind of walk up the walkway up to the place where they're going to process the meat of the sheep, and once this Judas sheep starts to walk up this path, all the sheep are like, oh, this must be where we go, and they start to follow. Well, they kind of siphon off that one sheep off out the door, and then they channel all the others a different direction, and they all walk to their demise. Sheep are going to follow. And if Jesus is saying we are sheep, we're going to follow something as well. Are you following the good shepherd? You following your own mind and your own heart or the ways of this world? Who or what are you following? So it's because Jesus, as a shepherd, leads his sheep. But then also a shepherd is not just leading, you know, like, hey, follow me. But he's also caring for the sheep. He cares for us. And I think the picture, when he's speaking to the Pharisees, Jesus is saying not all leaders are good and loving leaders. You know, there are some leaders that ravage the sheep. He describes them in verses 1 and verse 8 as what? The ones who come in by another way are thieves and robbers. You know, the hired hand, well, he's not wicked. He's not a thief and a robber. He's just not committed to the well-being of the sheep. And so he runs away. And so thieves and robbers and hired hands, they're not going to care for sheep like a shepherd would. There's this sense in verse 9 when he says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And what will be the result? What will come from the work of the shepherd when for the sheep is the sheep will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Okay, what does he say in verse 10? That the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And so Jesus, as a shepherd, he wants to give you and me as his sheep abundant life. And I think the world says, Jesus, all he wants to do is confine you. All those rules that God has, that just takes away your freedom. But just like we saw a couple weeks ago, that life without any boundaries is not freedom. It's chaos. It's death. But the freedom that the shepherd brings actually gives life to his sheep. And so when he says, I want to let you go in and out and have you find pasture, he is the one that provides and gives us life. And so going back to Psalm 23, this is what Tim Keller says about that passage in relating to the idea of a shepherd. It's the great shepherd. He's the one that takes me to calm places. He's the one who restores my weary, aching heart. He's the one who provides for me complete safety, deep satisfaction, and peace. This idea touches the deepest nerve. It awakens a very deep yearning, so deep that some of you, some of us, are being driven by it, trying to find it in other people. We want to be known like that. We want to be cared for like that. And it is Jesus who comes and he cares for his sheep. It's not an organization. It's not people. It is the Lord Jesus as the shepherd of the sheep. You know, so life to the full suggests a sheep that is fat, contented, flourishing, without a care in the world. Jesus desires not to be terrorized. Jesus desires for his sheep to live life fully. And in order to do that, he's going to protect his sheep. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them. He, that's the hired hand, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And so rather than taking off, Jesus puts himself in harm's way. And so the idea of care shows up there, but it doesn't just stop with willing to be in the midst of a wolf, in the midst of a predator. The care that Jesus has for his people extends far beyond leading them, caring for us, but he also values us deeply. So when you say, when you go into a convenience store and you know you're hungry, you want to pick up a Snickers bar, and they say it's $15, are you going to buy that Snickers? Probably not, unless you are really hungry and they got nothing else, right? But because that's way too much to pay for a Snickers bar. And so, but if they say, you know what, it's a quarter, you're like, hey, that's a good deal. I'll pay a quarter. I'll pay a dollar. But after that, I don't know, maybe, you know, $1.50. But after that, we stop because it's too much to pay. What we're willing to pay for something tells us how much we value it, right? So we pay a lot for our houses and our cars, not much for a Snickers. What does Jesus pay to secure our salvation? Everything. He pays his life. And so the sense of sacrifice and sacrificial love is not just that he dies for us, but his death of us, or death for us, describes how much he values us. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. There's other sheep of that fold. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. So there's this idea of the sacrificial payment of Jesus' life for our salvation. How much does Jesus value us? For the sheep, he lays down his life. There's truly this sense where he says, I am the good shepherd, but the good shepherd becomes the sacrificial lamb. I have no idea what commentator I stole that from, but attribute it to somebody. That the good shepherd becomes the sacrificial lamb. The heart of a shepherd, he knows his sheep. The sheep know him. He's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He's willing to protect his sheep, even when the sheep don't know they're in danger. He's willing to find the sheep and lead the sheep, even though the sheep don't know they're lost. He's willing to unite sheep from other folds together. He gives life abundantly. He's proactive in calling the sheep, chasing after the sheep. He's in touch with his Father, caring for the sheep under his guidance. He's always there. He leads from ahead. He's proven. He's a watchman. He loves the sheep. He's willing of his own accord to lead, to guide, to care, to lay down his life. He's committed to his sheep. His sheep trust him, and in that, his sheep find pasture. And ultimately, we see the value of all this, in that he is willing to lay his life down. So back in 2005, there was a man who escaped from a North Korean internment camp. Now, there's not many stories like this, people that have escaped and actually lived. I won't even pronounce his name because I'm going to butcher it. His first name was Shin. So he was one of the first people to escape from one of these total control camps and actually live to tell about it. Well, he was born in this camp, Camp 14. He was born there. He was raised there. All he knew about life was you were either a guard or a prisoner. That was his whole existence. And he didn't even fathom that there was life outside of this camp because he had never seen it. Well, that was until he was a teenager and somebody actually came into the camp that had had experiences outside of the camp. And so he came in and he starts talking about this world that was outside of that. So he and this other man start to develop this friendship. And this guy comes in from the outside world, outside of the electric fence that kept them in there. And he talked of living in cities, traveling to China, eating food whenever you wanted it, and any type of food you wanted. And Shin had no concept of what this guy was talking about. No concept whatsoever. And so they said, you know what, let's try to figure out how we can escape. And the only way for Shin to escape was this other man named Park would have to die. And so this man Park, who had experienced the world, wanted his friend to experience what freedom really looked like. They both ran up to the electric fence, and Park threw himself on the electric fence and was immediately killed. But then Shin used him as the way to climb over the electric fence and not die, and that was how he escaped. The idea of real love and real value and real care is shown when somebody is willing to lay down their life for somebody else. Jesus throws himself under the wrath of God for us so that we might be saved. Not to be saved and find freedom that we can define however we want, but freedom that then we are now sheep under the loving leading and care of a good shepherd. One that laid down his life for us, but did not stay dead. Rose again from the dead, conquered all of that. And he says, I am the good shepherd. Let me ask you, are you following him? Are you understanding and are you trying to care for yourself rather than have him care for you? Are you understanding that you're trying to possibly fix your life rather than say, you know what, my life and my freedom is found in submitting to him and him alone. He is a good shepherd, one that we can know and hear his voice. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would help us to see the idea, not simply the knowledge of who you are. God, I pray that you would draw us into relationship, draw us into the closeness of knowing you, of knowing your voice, of hearing your voice, of listening, of following, of being led by you, of knowing that we're dependent upon you, we can do nothing without you. God, free us from the fallacy that we have our life together and you're our safety net. Father, bring us to that place where we truly know we are utterly dependent upon you. God, convince us of that. Father, I pray you'd build us in that. God, bring us the joy of that and the freedom of us being led by a good shepherd. Father, it frees us from as sheep trying and needing to figure it out. So God, restore us in that. I pray that we would walk out encouraged, that you would go to that length to purchase our salvation, to give us life to the fullest. Father, that you would show how much value you place on us according to what you are willing to pay. And Father, convince us of this and encourage us. And pray these things in Christ's name.